Okay, but honestly, what is the movie that got you into film in the first place?
I wouldn't say there's a singular movie. Perhaps there might be a consecutive amount of films that I've watched over my years that really pushed me into coming into the field, entering.
So there's not like a specific.
Honestly, there's not
Yeah.
a specific movie,
There was
because
not like that moment of the movie.
there was never a moment, because actually my dad pushed me into acting instead of me, really finding it appealing and a means of it being my future or my, the thing I do, my forte. I got into acting, and that's how I got into filmmaking. That's my background.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause once I started off with acting, the whole 2 years, was very enthusiastic. I found that I could do what was needed and more to then work properly with the camera. Now, talking about the camera, I was in the shadows. I didn't know anything that was going on behind it or going on with it. So that's what got me into filmmaking. I just wanted to know how everything was done,
Like
except
the
for acting.
behind, yeah.
Yeah, to be behind, to be in the logistics, to be, doing everything else except for acting only. Yeah.
For me, it was like there were a bunch of films that I was like, well, that would be cool if I made that like that. That would be cool if I created a like it always starts with a fantasy when you're like young and stuff, and you're like, what if I was transported into another world? Like, to me, I look at film as escapism, and I think a lot of people do. But like there was a film that was like, oh yeah, I for sure am on the right path. Like
And which was that?
it was Knives Out, like Rian Johnson's Knives
Oh,
Out.
right.
Like I always knew that I wanted to do film like since I was very, very young, but Rian Johnson's Knives Out was that like moment for me when I was watching like the behind the scenes footage where I was like, you can have a bunch of people working together to create a beautiful image, because like they shot on film and it was like just a beautiful frame, like every frame was like a painting to me. So just seeing a bunch of people work together to create that image, and like they use a bunch of mirrors and stuff like that to fake the window and Linda's eye, like in her glasses and stuff, like just small stuff like
Like
that.
the intricacies
The
that
intricacies of
make the
the
whole
process,
process,
yeah.
to make the whole image.
That was when I was like, oh, damn.
That's what intrigued you into coming into this industry.
But then there's, as you said, like there's not one film, but like to me there was like a moment while watching that film when I was like,
Multiple moments
yeah.
that got you here. Your background as well, I hear that you have had a entertainment sort of background. You used to do what, voiceovers and dubbing for channels, TV shows and whatnot?
So yeah,
So
that was I was kind of like brought into it when I
molded
was, yeah,
into all this,
when I was very young. I was like 4 when I they even had like, you know, when you sit on the chair and like the mic can't go lower, so they had like pillows
So they had
so
to
that I can
step you
stand
up to
and
the
like
mic,
speak
now
to the
you're
mic.
here,
Now I'm here.
making music,
Yeah,
making film.
I think of it as seasoning. Like when you're in that environment in like your childhood or like later on in life, whenever you're not doing anything, even if you were just like watching and you're in that environment, I feel like you're like being seasoned
Of
into
course.
that environment,
Yeah,
and then
little
it
things that
becomes
build up.
natural.
Yeah. Turns into your actual personality that brings you here.
Like for you with acting, I can imagine like you, even if you're acting, like you're just in front of the camera, but like you're seeing what's happening
Right,
behind
you're
the camera.
hearing them, this, that, and the other details, and then it intrigues you. Brings you where you are right now, which is where we are right now, in SA, starting off our second year. And yeah, talking about our second year, how excited are you for what's to come?
It's we have a we have like, you know, like the we're starting on studio units, and we're gonna start our narrative short film course. Have you prepared?
Have I
any
gotten
script,
anything?
Any...
I have not gotten a script down, but I do have an idea.
Okay.
I don't know if I can reveal it here. I'll choose not to because I will. It's a nice nitty gritty situation. It's nice and grounded, I can say. It's something that can actually be filmed. It's pretty soulful, in my opinion. Yeah. That's how I see it. Mm. Yeah. I don't want the big concept, high concept, big picture, huge crew. You know, huge cast, nothing like
not
that.
Not Avengers level.
Nothing. Yeah. I want let's give you an example. Not Avengers, but a marriage story.
Right. So like grounded.
Just these
a conversation
people.
Between people.
Exactly. One,
on
two, give, take, like we're having right now.
Yeah.
Exactly, indeed. What about you?
I mean, I sort of have a similar vibe going on, but I sort of intertwined the script with some action stuff. So
give it that.
Yeah, because I feel like you need that flair to like draw people in, and then once they're in, you can start developing that sort of underlying story with it.
Something to grasp their attention.
Yeah, because I felt like if I jumped in on the marriage story side of thing, which is brilliant and beautiful, but I feel like you would capture a smaller audience with that. You know what I mean?
Right. So you want more.
That doesn't mean it's good or bad.
Well, of course,
it just means
it's objective.
You have less.
It's a more of a higher niche.
It's more niche.
Yeah.
I feel like film is at its best where like you're capturing the largest amount of audience, and at the same time not.
Striving away from what you actually want,
like at the same time delivering that deep message that you want to deliver.
Yeah, fair enough.
But like not like alienating the audience.
Exactly.
And like
fair enough.
Making them feel stupid.
Right.
Because a lot of times movies just mention the plot like 50 times throughout the conversation.
And then you gotta watch the movie again and again.
Yeah.
Either the person watches the movie or they just hate it.
Yeah.
Talking about Interstellar, you know. Just to throw out a few names.
I mean, I've met a lot of people where they were like, oh, like, you spoke about Interstellar, but I'm going to speak about, like, Inception.
Exactly.
A lot of people have watched the film and were like, oh, that's such a beautiful film. But if you sit down with them, you're like, okay, what is it about? Not a clue. But, like, Nolan has been in many interviews, he said, don't think about it, just feel it. And I think that's really important, because like an audience member watching Inception might start thinking about the intricacies of the dream scenes and stuff like that. But then an audience member would just be like, oh, cool visuals.
Nice dream.
Whatever.
Wow.
And that I think is why Nolan is like...
Nolan,
because it just, he's capturing, like I said earlier, the largest amount of audience you can capture.
Still telling his story.
But still having deep messages. Like, I think that balance is just brilliant.
Indeed, I can see what you mean and where you're coming from.
Yeah. We can, he's making Odyssey,
which is coming out this year. Talking about movies coming out this year, we can talk about the biggest day for movie or film in history.
Doomsday.
Barbenheimer Part 2, yes, Doomsday.
Doomsday.
And yeah, talking about Doomsday, which side are you on? Is there
honestly,
a side
on the side of cinema? Like
that is the
like,
side I'm talking about.
The fact that we can have like you spoke about it, Barbenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we can have those days where it's just you're going to the cinema.
It's just a day for movies.
Yeah, it's just a day for
worldwide.
Movies.
It's just cinema.
I don't think
right?
people should be like divided. I think.
But again, like you said, with capturing the whole audience to capture the whole world.
Yeah,
people like to be divided. Drama
that sparks the conversation,
right? Drama is something that brings people together to still go to the theater and to still compare.
Yeah.
If there wasn't comparison to be made, not enough people would go and compare. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but
again,
I'm personally on the doomsday side, but only because I'm looking forward to an endgame experience.
Indeed, yes.
But like, it's just that nostalgia speaking.
Oh,
but 100%. from a intellectual standpoint, and like for a film side, I'm looking forward to Doom 3. Like, so bad. Like, the first two films were just brilliant. I think Denis Villeneuve, like, it's his best work. It's
amazing.
But yeah, I'm gonna see both, obviously.
Obviously,
but
same
like,
day.
But like Doomsday, I'm looking for that audience experience. It's like a roller coaster, like with a bunch of people. Which brings me to my question to you. Do you think it's gonna be as big as Endgame?
Avengers Doomsday being as big as Endgame.
Or like Infinity War. Or like, is it gonna be
that? Oh, that brings me to another question which I can ask you after this, after I've answered. But what I'd say is nothing can be as big as Endgame.
Ooh.
Nope. The amount of hype Endgame had behind it, and the amount of
build up
it had, because everything was cohesive and people were on the track to understand most of it. Even my dad knew what was going on. That gives you know, the idea. Older people knew what was going on compared to now, to where where Marvel is around almost everywhere, and people just want to see this saga to elapsed, right?
Yeah.
And that's what Doomsday is bringing. I'd say nothing can compare up or, you know, be deemed as close to Avengers Endgame.
I completely agree with you. Like, the hype that they're trying to generate, I think they will generate some hype afterwards.
Somehow, yes, for sure.
It's Marvel, and it's the biggest
actor.
It's Robert Downey Jr. It's Doom, the most infamous villain of all time. But I think with Endgame, we sort of had like enough time to, I'm gonna use a lot of food metaphors. We had enough time to marinate with those characters.
With that period between Infinity War and Endgame, people were lost, you know?
Yeah. And the fact that like Endgame was not just for show. It was like a character arc moment for all of the characters.
Mostly
like Steve Rogers had his moment at the end where he got to live that
the big three.
Final. Yeah. And Thor had that moment where he got to let go and just sit down and just not worry about anything.
And
Tony Stark obviously had that moment where he sacrificed himself after being this.
Did the biggest thing he could have done.
After being an egotistical person that only cares about himself and he's a narcissist. And at the end he sacrifices himself and he just finishes that arc. I don't think you have those characters
anymore
where you have that arc with it.
But what can actually happen is people can still come, contradicting my own point. People will still come to see Steve Rogers.
Of course. Yeah, of course. You're always
Thor, Odinson.
That nostalgia.
And Tony Stark
on
the big screen being themselves for, I hope, not the last time, but maybe the last time after Endgame. Because of that, just because of that, I feel it's going to be the biggest movie ever. Ever. It's crossing Avatar. Ever. Honestly, because of how good Endgame was and it's still top three, I think. Just because RDJ is coming back, this is going to top the charts.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to, in my opinion, it's going to have the biggest opening weekend we've ever seen, ever. Which was the biggest opening weekend? I should have done my research. I'd say it was Endgame.
I think it was Endgame, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
top that, doesn't it?
I mean, $2.6 billion.
Gross, worldwide
crazy.
Gross. Right, yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
But what my question before that, or that came to my mind, which was better, everything-wise, not just hype, not just movie, just better, Avengers Endgame or Avengers Infinity War?
Oh.
I've got my definite answer.
Here's the thing. I personally rewatch the last 30 minutes of Endgame a lot more than both films combined. That, from the moment it turns from the portals, like, section where everyone just comes
Avengers
in and it's the last battle.
Right.
Because so often, Marvel movies are in that trap of CGI fest at the end of the film,
right.
where it doesn't make sense. But with Endgame,
it makes sense.
They had those character moments
with
Wanda, where she's like, "You took everything from me," and with Spider-Man just struggling to understand what's happening and trying to deliver those the gauntlet, stuff like that.
Right.
So, and you had that like women's team, A-Force kind
right.
of Avengers moment with Captain Marvel and Valkyrie and
everybody
Wanda.
Had
Yeah,
their little mistakes.
everyone had their moments, which was brilliant.
Even though there were still some mistakes in the big picture, if you
oh.
noticed Ant-Man. Old blue
yeah.
We're not gonna talk about it further because you know what we're talking about. The movie
yeah.
is about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean,
but
you're gonna
still
have that mistake.
Yeah.
But like the thing is, Infinity War had that like grandeur. It had the all the groups grouping up together,
exactly.
and you had that looming threat of Thanos just coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
While with Endgame, it was like fixing up what happened with Infinity War.
I think Thanos was a greater threat in Endgame than in Infinity War. I felt
he was younger.
Fear.
He was
that's
he was more fierce.
Yeah, he was.
I think
a stronger, more like a harder foe
yeah,
to beat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to battle.
Especially in that moment with Captain America, where he like had the shield up, and
mm-hmm.
Thanos was like.
Chopping it away,
and he wasn't stopping.
Right,
I
yeah.
felt that was like a raw moment. Of
Those raw
of
moments.
Action. Yeah.
I hope they bring to Doomsday because I'm really hoping for some actual character development. Again, that was one of my questions.
Yeah.
Is it just gonna be a cluttered, character-heavy, nonsensical, money-making machine, or are they gonna have actual nuances and actual character explorations and complete stories for some and make
that's what
stars.
You would hope to have,
yeah.
You know.
That's what do you think?
I
would hope for
I
that.
Think again, like you can't speculate much because we barely have trailers and we barely have teasers.
Just off of your win.
Off of what I think is they went back to the Russos for the reason that they don't wanna make it too cluttered and
mm-hmm.
they wanna focus on those characters.
Right.
And the Russos know those characters best.
They just know
starting from like Winter Soldier, Civil War,
mm-hmm.
like Infinity War, Endgame,
mm-hmm.
those were like the
War.
Best Marvel movies
right.
they directed. Them. So I think we're in good hands.
We are.
Is what I think.
I see. Okay.
But mm-hmm. I actually wanted to ask something about you. Is do you hope to create that sort of content, like that big bombastic blockbuster
mm-hmm.
roller coasters, or? Are you looking through like the film studies that you're doing right now, and we're both doing? Are you looking for a more grounded, art house sort of film?
Art house sort of,
yeah,
just
experience.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, based in reality.
Yeah.
Thriller.
Which one do
good
you think?
Good question.
Yeah.
Is,
do you lean towards?
I would sort of want to explore everything. I would want to go on a roller coaster where I can. Be in the Lazy River
yeah.
as well as the Formula Rosa, you know? So both worlds need to be explored on this ride.
Okay.
Which is what I'm trying to create and which is what I'm going to make my career.
But like if you were given a golden ticket, you can create any film you want to create.
Is it going to be perfect?
I don't think anything.
Nothing can be perfect.
But
it's objective, isn't it?
Yeah. But what kind of film do you
that's, what kind
that's
of film?
My kind of film.
I
yeah.
would like to make a thriller where the ending is
ambiguous.
Sort of, yeah, ambiguous, but definitely delivered in a way where it's an ending.
Oh, yeah.
Only two movies by now have done this for me, which are Prisoners and The Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Both the endings leave the audience. I'm not trying to spoil them. Leaves the audience with a question, but also an answer.
Okay.
I'm trying to do that itself, because those two movies have really, really absolutely motivated me to be a better filmmaker because
yeah.
of how they've been shot and made and created. The stories themselves have so many intricacies that if you watch the movie for the seventh time, see what I did there. You'd still be seeing new stuff, you know, new angles, new details that you didn't see on your sixth watch.
Yeah. We're gonna avoid doing that.
Think of the past, man.
I mean, but for me, it was Inception with the death. That sort of open ending.
Right. Open ended.
Yeah. Where it's not really the filmmaker saying, oh, I can't write an ending, so I'll leave it up to the audience.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to spoil the ending of Inception, but Christopher Nolan leaves a sort of ending where if you pay enough attention
there is
to the detail of it, there is something you can grasp upon to conclude a sort of ending of your own.
Right.
So he satisfies both sides where it's like, oh, is it that or is it that? There are good reasons for both of those. There are a bunch of filmmakers who sort of make an open ending where it's like, oh, well, now we don't know the thing. Now we don't have any confrontation where we can have...
Talking about that type of film, have you watched The Intern, which I watched recently?
Yes, I have.
That ended on, huh? Because I was like, huh? Because it made me believe. Now, I don't know. Now, trying to get into some spoilers, because I really want to talk about this.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. For The Intern, Robert De Niro, Anne Hathaway, very nice movie. You guys should watch. Family movie. Beautiful. Very nice. Yes, beautiful film. Towards the end, the last 20 minutes, I was thinking she's going to make him the CEO of her company because he has ran the whole factory for about 40 years that he has mentioned.
Yeah.
And because of that little detail alone, I assumed fully that we're going to end with him being their new CEO because of the conversation they had in his house towards the end where she looks at him in a way where it's like, just say it. Lady, just say it, you know?
Mm.
She's talking about the Ted, but I do not remember his name.
Yeah.
But the guy in New York talking about him in a sense where we don't see him. First of all, we don't see him.
Mm.
Second of all, she's talking about him in a very non-him way.
Mm.
She's just talking about, she's just stating facts about how a person is. While our character, what was his name? I forgot his name as well. Robert De Niro's character was exactly what she's talking about. But then again, the movie ended on just nothing. Them doing Tai Chi in a park. What am I to assume?
Yeah, but I think to me that was the Tai Chi in the park was sort of those two characters embracing each other's lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think whether or not he's a CEO, the ending gave you that sort of catharsis that those characters have finally found their common ground. Right. So I think whether or not the CEO is irrelevant because the main focal length of the focal like point of the film is them coming to terms with their different backgrounds. Yeah, and their world.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I actually wanted to ask about your studies here, like what has been a very aha moment to you?
Aha moment in SAE or just in
like in SAE in class, maybe when you were shooting or something. Did you have that moment where like, oh, that's how things should work?
Aha moment being where I have discovered what I can actually do.
Yeah.
Apart from acting. Perhaps I'd say our last trimester, for example, we had our main project being Fellow. Please watch the movie. It is amazing. It is a good film that we have created.
Yeah.
But in the production, what I found out was that I operate very nicely as an assistant director.
Mm.
And as the aha moment being, I can manage a set nicely.
Yeah.
So that can sum up what an aha moment was for me. Of course, I've had multiple moments where it, you know, they have really shined light on something I can do nicely, and that's why I'm here in SAE.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the type of guy to adhere to normal study. Yeah. That's why, again, we're here in SAE.
Like exams.
We don't do exams. We have projects. That's one more thing, you know. But yeah, major aha moment is I have discovered that I have a nice AD on top
Yes, you are.
My hey, you never know. Yeah, is there really content?
See, no, I'm while directing that film.
Oh yes, this is the reaction.
While directing that film, I was trying to do way too much for my capacity. And I thought that's the way of doing things. That you have to jump in and do a bit of lighting, a bit of camera work, a bit of telling the actors what to do. I thought that's what directing is. And I mean, if you ask some people, they would tell you that's what it is.
They would, yeah.
But I think on that film, that's when I realized you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do everything.
All of it.
You don't have to do everything. Mm-hmm. And what matters is that you stick to your guts and you stick to what you do best.
Yeah.
And what you think you can contribute best.
Mm-hmm.
See, I honestly was like nervous about whether or not we can even get it done on time.
Right.
But and our first day of shooting was kind of lackluster, to say the least.
Yeah.
But when I woke up the next day and I saw you like putting the C-stand and we were cleaning the set and making sure everything was ready, I was like, that's a good assistant director. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, we were on time and I believe we finished early the second day.
Second day.
And that moment was when I was like, because before I would have woken up and started to do everything and stuff like that.
Right.
That's when I was like, oh, you can trust people that
you
are worthy of that trust.
Exactly.
And you can just sit back and not be lazy, but do the thing that you're passionate about and that you want to do.
That you've come in to do.
Exactly.
Without being interfered by other things that you have to do.
Yeah.
Which we don't have to.
Yeah.
You just have to let things happen as they
And I think that was my aha moment, which is like
right.
Which is like just stick to your lane. Like you don't have to do everything.
We're here to learn about everything.
Of course,
and there
of course.
Are moments and there are times where you have to do everything.
Yeah.
Not moving apart from it fully.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there are also times when you have to focus on one thing and let that thing be what you work on for that whole duration, which is amazing. Which are what our aha moments have been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yes, that sums up this half. Moving on, what I'd say and what I'd like to talk about is the studio, which is where we shot one of our biggest, or I think the biggest project we've ever been a part of.
It's
ambitious. It's huge. It's a big set. It's a big crew.
I think it's the most CGI
heavy
project in SAE.
In SAE?
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about the Revelation
game. Yeah.
A production by many people.
By many, yeah.
Literally.
And DT Films.
Yeah.
That project was very interesting from the moment they started talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they approached me as an actor.
The main actor.
Yeah. I honestly was so scared because they were talking about wire work and flying and all. I've never done that.
Very ambitious.
Very ambitious
with
that. And I was very scared and I told them when they approached me, I was like, are you sure you can do this? Like, do you have it? And they were so confident in their craft and their ability.
100% deserving of their black sheep badge. The three of them. Chillest folk and the most efficient / highest execution.
Yeah, what I loved about the team was that the three of them, Daham, Vignesh, and Arav, the three of them were always like, whenever I told them, are you sure you can do this? Like, yeah.
Yes, they had it. But
they had that confidence that I have never seen in a student project.
Exactly.
Like, normally on a student project, we are confident, but like, there are those moments where you're like, man, this might not work.
It can't be better. Like, wow, that's what exactly.
They always had a plan B to their plan C. They had a lot of plans, and at the end, I think we finished the project with like day three was finished with 7 shots in advance. Like,
exactly.
We shot more than we were supposed to shoot.
Than we needed, yeah.
And we got into that zone of like
shooting,
filming, and that they built.
Oh hey, indeed, one of the main things that drove my liking to this project was how good the set design was and how good we actually, or they actually executed everything they wanted to execute. Of course, when we saw the film, it was almost half done.
Yeah.
But still, I mean,
that's
we still
always
got the big picture.
VFX and that sort of work.